And here we go, 12:07 here on your hometown station, KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220, hometownstation.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds. Matt Frieda here with you until 1 p.m. or whenever they decide they've heard enough of me and kick me off the air. Well, that could actually happen because, in fact, I do have an announcement here, and that is that this will be the final edition of Out of Bounds as I am going to be moving on and taking on a new opportunity elsewhere. And I just wanted to say briefly before we do get the show started and I introduce my special co-host for the afternoon here today, a big thanks to the station, of course, Jerry Cerati Goldman and Carl Goldman, the owners who do a fantastic job over here in every facet of Santa Clarita Valley news and bringing you some great programming, and for giving me this opportunity. Of course, for you, allowing me to be in your car, on your Facebook Live, on your phone, whatever you were listening to or watching on, I appreciate it. And having spent about 2 years here now in the Santa Clarita Valley, both going to College of the Canyons and then coming over here to KHDS, really feel that I was embraced in the community, and I've come to really love it and look at it as a second home, my first home being a whole long ways away in Thousand Oaks, but nonetheless, a great opportunity, and I'm very appreciative of it, and I hope you've enjoyed the show here over the last couple of months that we've been doing. And so without any further ado, and that is our co-host's favorite word, and the reason I say that, you may recognize him. He is the host of the infamous Ask Brian program, which will be coming on right after this at 1 p.m., and that is Peter Bronstein. Woo! Yeah, baby.
My song.
Rocky.
You know, Rocky, get, Rocky, Rocky.
Where's the punching? Come on, give it.
I got to save it for the next show.
That's right. Keep the endurance up. What did Mick say to Rocky about the night before? No, cuddling under the covers with Adrian, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You don't want to lose your energy.
So, this is a sports show, right?
It is. It is.
So, and boxing is a sport, right?
Technically. I mean, depends who you ask nowadays. I feel like UFC has kind of supplanted it at this point, but it is technically still a sport, yes.
So I would say between today and Sunday, you're looking at about 96 hours, the greatest time on earth, for a place called Phoenix. They not only have the Super Bowl, but they have one of the best or biggest trades in NBA history last night.
That's right.
Matt, what was that all about?
That's right. And you actually didn't even mention the Waste Management Open, which is, it should be called the Wasted Management Open, because this is like the biggest golf tournament where it's literally guys, frat guys, going to just get hammered at the
I'm tournament. A frat guy, you know.
Yeah, were you? I can see that.
Alpha Epsilon Pi.
Nice. Wow. Okay. Never would have guessed. I mean, were you the leader? Or what was your role there? I was never in a frat, so I can't speak to it. But
really,
no.
No, it was a good thing because, you know, you come to college and you might not be in state, whatever, and you right away you get a group of guys right away, people that you have initial friendships with. That, you know, you go through battles with, anything you go through battle with, right? If you're on a sports team, you know, you can call up the guys from high school and go, remember that goal, whatever, and you can still remember. Same thing with a fraternity.
There you go. And great
networking. Go through that same experience.
Networking, because those frats are nationwide.
Absolutely.
So, very cool.
Absolutely.
So, yes, you touched on it right before I got into that. The big news, and that's what we're going to focus on here in the first segment, the NBA trade deadline and reverberations throughout the league coming out of Brooklyn. Okay, the Nets have officially blown it all up, and they have traded both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant within a span of 72 hours. You, Peter, are a Brooklyn Nets fan, a New Yorker at heart, from New York. So I thought, how appropriate for
one,
you to
one
be
way
here.
To embarrass me really quickly. Huh?
I'm sorry, I had because this is great. We get your perspective. We're not going to focus solely on the Nets. Obviously, we're here in Southern California. The Lakers also made some moves that we're going to get to, a big one last night. But this is, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not. This is the biggest disappointment in sports history when you consider the collection of talent that the Brooklyn Nets had over the last 3 years, from Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and at one point James Harden, to not even get to an Eastern Conference Finals in that time. Good day, sir.
Well, first of all, I don't even know if it's the biggest Nets issue in the last 10 years. As you recall, the Nets had a trade where they traded for Garnett and Pierce and Terry, three stars that they tried to acquire. They traded all their draft picks, which became Tatum and Brown, pretty good stars there. So they've been through this before, and you know what? The way they go, they'll be through it again.
They are
star lovers.
They are.
New York, New York.
Right, there you go. City so nice they named it twice, right? Isn't that what
exactly.
They said? It is just unfathomable to me to think. You know, you go back to 2019 when they originally signed Kyrie Irving. They brought in Kevin Durant, even coming off of that Achilles injury where they paid him for the first year basically to rehab. And just as a fan of the
it's
NBA.
It's a nice vacation.
Great vacation.
$30, $40 million just to sit there.
If you could get away with it, right? Isn't that nice? I'd love to be that. But you were NBA fans in general were like, that's fine. That's a good idea. You're getting him back when he's healthy. Hopefully he's still the same guy. And he's proved over the last 3 years that he was the same guy, Kevin Durant. But then you had the off-court drama with Kyrie Irving at every turn. Between not showing up to play in the Bubble Bowl, the playoffs in 2020 with COVID, the sitting out last year because he refused to get the COVID vaccine, and then, of course, this year with his tweet to a link of an anti-Semitic movie and book, constant issues with this guy. And now we sit here today, and they are both gone. The Nets trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks and Kevin Durant to the Phoenix Suns early this morning. So your thoughts as a Nets fan?
First of all, you can look at it a different way, right? The Nets, what did they pay? They paid money, but they didn't pay anything to get Irving or Durant. They were free agents. So they didn't have to give up anything to get him. Where they started giving up players and people is when they did the Harden trade. And it was a Harden trade where they really gave up people.
Right.
But it's all about the culture, right? And, you know, these two players combined, Hall of Famers, there's no way in hell that you can match that talent level. That is a pretty high talent level that you're going to have. Irving, when he's balling, he is balling. He's great. And Durant, I mean, even at his age, he's playing better than anyone. And that's another thing, his age, right? How long is he going to keep this up? LeBron, who just broke the what?
Scoring, all-time
that's
scoring
right,
record.
That's all-time
right.
Scoring record. And he's, what, 37, 38? So these guys still have a couple years left. They have had a couple of lingering injuries, if you look at Durant, you know, with Achilles, with the MCL a couple years. So we'll see how that plays out. But from a talent standpoint, there's no way that the Nets could ever match that talent and what they got. What they did is they got rid of the headaches, the problems, the excuses. And maybe they'll have the ability to attract other players. But from a basketball perspective, there's no way to ever – you can't trade a star, really, and ever come out ahead. However, look at a lot of the trades. Look at the member Carmelo Anthony, and look at a lot of other players, star players that have been traded in their primes. And guess what? They didn't lead them to victory. But in this case, I seriously think that if Phoenix can't win it this year, I don't know if they can win it. I mean, you've got CP3,
Devin Booker.
Booker and
now Durant.
And what about their center?
Right. And DeAndre Ayton. Right.
So
I mean, they're locked and loaded.
They've got locked and loaded.
And they've been a huge disappointment this year. So if Durant can't be the one to inject anything into them at this point, I don't know what would be.
Well, I mean, listen, there are a lot of teams, though, that have two superstars. Dallas now has Dunnick and Irving,
right.
Okay? The Clippers, they have George and Leonard. The Lakers have Anthony and LeBron. I mean, how many stars do the Golden State have? Jamont on Memphis, Denver. There's a lot of teams out there. So in any series, as we know, some teams can win and some teams can lose. It takes a little extra. But I think that the way this team is constructed with Phoenix, while they don't have the role players anymore, I think that they are constructed to win.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just, for me personally, as a Knicks fan, a guy who was told all of the last 3 years that Brooklyn was the new team in town, they're taking over New York, I just got to say. Oh, well, that's where a laugh track was supposed to play. So it didn't.
I'll laugh for you.
There you go. If you don't laugh, you'll just cry, unfortunately. That's the sad thing. And I can feel for you because we share two other teams, the Mets and the New York Jets. And we're not going to talk all New York, but I've been down this road before with those two teams, as you have. So I have some empathy for you. And by the way, getting a preview for Ask Brian coming up at 1 o'clock.
Well, but all of my teams have an E in them.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
That's why I have them, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Branding. And nobody knows better than you, Peter. Nobody knows better than you. So, yeah, an absolute kind of disaster, in my opinion. Although, like you said, the personalities, nothing of it was meshing between Durant, Kyrie, and the Nets. I think they made out pretty well considering what they got compensated for as far as players. They got Mikal Bridges back. They got another guy or two from the Suns. And then they actually made a trade separately from those two, sending Jay Crowder to Milwaukee for 3 second-round picks, which you're kind of building up a little bit now.
But don't forget Dinwiddie, who played with the team. And the other player, Finley Smith, I believe.
Yeah, Finney Smith.
So they've got it. But let's not just talk solely Brooklyn basketball here. There are a lot of other trades that were made. Let's go into some of those trades.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely. I think the biggest one we got to go into at this point now is, of course, Russell Westbrook is no more in Los Angeles.
I don't know that he ever was, although his body was here.
That's right. The spirit was not. It was an unmitigated disaster from the beginning. He never fit in with the Lakers, and I have been coming on this show every Thursday at noon clamoring for the Lakers to make a change, find a way to get rid of Russell Westbrook, because he simply did not fit the roster with AD and LeBron. So he goes in a three-way trade out to Utah, who are actually planning to buy him out. And in return, the Lakers are getting D'Angelo Russell, who began his career with the Lakers. I love the move. What do you think?
First of all, that happens to be the theme this year. If you look at a lot of players, Dinwiddie went back to the Nets. Mm-hmm. Okay, Russell went back to the Lakers. There's a couple other players that were traded today, too. They've gone back to their original teams. I think Pearl on Toronto went back to that original team.
Correct.
So it's a really interesting fact that teams are now reacquiring players that they had some type of relationship with. Why? Because they obviously know what kind of leadership roles they're playing on those teams and what they can do for the culture of those teams. And I think that, to me, is what I'm seeing here right now. Take it away. Of course, when you get a Hall of Famer, that's a different story. But it seems to me that teams are more interested in trying to get the right fit and the right culture than the superstar, although there are a few exceptions to that rule. There's no golden rule, right? That's one of the things, I think.
Right, right. And, I mean, D'Angelo Russell really was beginning to blossom when he was originally with the Lakers. This is probably now 5 years ago before he ended up getting moved. But he's really become an excellent player now, and he was with the Nets for a little while, so you knew him as well when he was playing for the team.
Well, and then he was traded for Lopez, which was not a bad player either for a while. He's actually resurrected his career very well with Milwaukee. If you look at Lopez, he's a very good rebounder. He does a lot of stuff. But let's talk about other teams. So let's see. The Clippers, they acquired Mason Plumlee. He's not a superstar, but he's a good role player.
Yep.
And the Clippers had to give up Reggie Jackson. But the Lakers, in addition to the Westbrook trade, they also did the Patrick Beverley trade, which I was surprised. They traded Beverley and they got Mo Bamba. What do you think about that?
You know, we have heard now that Thomas Bryant has actually become a little unsettled, a little disgruntled with his role since the return of Anthony Davis. So bringing in a guy like Bamba, who's not going to expect to be like the centerpiece of an offense or be playing big minutes, I think he's a great role player and adds some depth to the Lakers that they sorely need, especially with the fragility of Anthony Davis, how injured he often is.
Well, when you look at this, most of the big players, except for Milwaukee, I mean, Embiid was injured many, many times. Zion Williamson injured many, many times.
Of course.
And it seems to me when you're that tall and that big, you know, the harder they are,
the bigger they fall.
And
right?
That's what I'm thinking is happening here. So you got those big guys. It's not easy. A guard, obviously, listen, anybody can get injured. Anybody can be out. But it seems to me that guys like that, you're trying to build these teams around. In the old days, I don't remember Patrick Ewing, your Knick fan, okay, or Hakeem Olajuwon being out that much. Whereas these guys, it seems to me like every year Anthony Davis is injured. Every year Zion Williamson is injured. And by the way, they got Zion Williamson after Anthony Davis was traded. So, I mean, it seems to me, I don't know, maybe it's the New Orleans thing or that they just bring on those players.
I'm not doubting that these guys get hurt. I'm not doubting they don't play hard. But I think a lot of it also speaks to player empowerment in the league, because we already see it with how they are able to force their way out of a situation and into what they are desiring, whether it's playing with a specific teammate or going to a specific location and city. We see it all the time. We saw it with James Harden multiple times. We now just saw it this past week with Kyrie and Durant. It happens all the time. These guys want something, they whine and they moan for months, and eventually the teams have to cave because, well, they don't really have a power position on the players like they do. So I'm thinking these guys are getting paid and compensated so well. Yeah, I'll sit out a month, 2 months, whatever. I'm still getting paid. Ka-ching. I mean, these guys are they have too much control in the NBA, in my opinion, the players.
So why do you think that is?
Well, because of the last CBA agreement that they had. You're a lawyer.
Well, that's not the only reason. The reason is in basketball, you only need two stars. I'm not going to say you only need two stars because plenty of teams have two stars. But when you only have five players on a team. Okay, in football, you have 22 players starting, right?
Right.
11 on defense, 11 on offense. Baseball has 9. Hockey even has 6, and you need to have more than one line. Okay, in basketball, you can do it on fewer players. So that makes the player themselves bigger than they are. And then the contract, you know, everyone's going to sign the same contract, so the player is signing where they choose. But let's look at Durant. Okay, Durant was on Oklahoma. Okay, couldn't do it, so what does he do? He runs off to Golden State, who pretty much had already nearly won it themselves on their own, okay, and he goes there. Then he thinks that Irving's going to do it for him and bring on Harden, and they think that they're going to win it there. And now he doesn't. Now Irving's traded. The first thing he does is, I got to go. I want to go to Phoenix. I mean, you know what? I agree now with Barkley. You know what? Go to a team and win it. Don't go to a team like, you know, I'm happy for the guy, but reality-wise, let's see him do it somewhere. Doesn't have to be Phoenix. Let's see if he gets traded in 2 years if he does win a championship. Let's see if he can take a team all the way. I think he can't.
Yeah, he should be based on his talent, but clearly there's a leadership issue with him. There's clearly something not right about it because you look at his original situation in Oklahoma City where they end up bringing in Russell Westbrook, who at that time was a superstar.
And you know, they also had Harden.
And, of course, then got James Harden, right. And a lot of other very nice Serge Ibaka when he was in his prime as well. They had a very good team in OKC.
Who was traded today.
Right, that's right. He also moved. That was a bit more of a salary dump, I think,
yeah,
from Milwaukee. But you look at Durant's resume, and of course, you already laid it out. Started in OKC with all that talent, jumps the bandwagon on to Golden State, rides their coattails to a championship, even though, yeah, he did win the two MVPs of the finals. I'll give him that. He played at an elite level. But you played at an elite level like that when you also have three other number one players at their positions with Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry.
And if they're all covered, so of course it's easier to do that, right?
Of course, of course. And so, you know, he tries to do his thing in Brooklyn. It's obviously does not work out. And I have to put a lot of the blame on Kyrie Irving, who will find his way into trouble no matter where he is. He could be in a paper
bag. Is that because
bag.
He thinks the earth is flat?
Well, that's true. And is it not? I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm looking for that cliff.
I haven't seen any proof
otherwise.
I think
the Nets are at that cliff and they fell off.
They fell down. They're off. It's over. But, you know, honestly, big winners, big losers at the trade deadline. For me, the two big winners, I got to give it to the Lakers. I really like what they did. Getting D'Angelo Russell, offloading Russell
Westbrook.
So would
you take the Lakers over to Dallas for the trade deadline?
I would not, but because Kyrie Irving is so good, the one caveat to that is, when is the next big problem that he's going to stir up? When is the next thing he's going to cause an issue with?
I think he's going to be okay this year. You know why?
Because he wants a contract next year.
Exactly.
Money.
People play. I mean, you talk about the Jets. They had that guy, Mo Wilkerson. He was an all-pro the year that he went for his contract, gets his contract signed, and fell off the face of the earth.
Poof. Goodbye.
So maybe the flat earth is right. That, you know?
The flat earth is definitely. Yeah, that's one thing Kyrie was right about. Yes. The earth's definitely flat. Look, lots
but
of
we don't want the show to be flat.
No. That's not you and me, flat? I don't know about that. Come on. You and I, we got this yin and yang here. Lots more to do. We are going to discuss the big game coming up on Sunday, Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs and the Eagles. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to KHTS FM 98.1 AM 1220. Be right back. Oh, yeah. Got the thumbs up of approval from Peter over here, my co-host.
The Stones.
Yeah, baby. That's how we do it here.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. None of that new stuff. Come on. I only listen to 60s, 70s music. I'm not kidding. I'm 28 years old, but that's all I listen to. The goodies.
I don't even listen to that much. Well, I listen to the 60s a little bit. I'm more 70s. More 70s.
Disco guy? A little Casey and the Sunshine Band? I don't see your platform.
I'm waiting for that guy to come out with his white suit. No, you.
Who, me? Oh, right here, Jay. Jay, who's going to be helping us out.
He's
going to
come
out
with a white suit, you know?
Oh, yeah. All right. Good deal.
John Travolta over here. All right. So.
Grease Lightning. It's electrifying.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to, what are we going to discuss next?
We're going to pivot, and we're going to talk Super Bowl someday.
What's that? What's the Super Bowl?
It feels like there's
Is that like a big bowl of ramen noodles?
Exactly, right. Like, just like, what is it, Albany Foods, right? Twisted Noodles?
Twisted Noodles.
I mean, this is basically Ask Brian part one, and then the next one will be part two at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you got me for 2 hours. That's a lot.
Yeah, right. Well, the Santa Clarita Valley needed more Peter Bronstein. I mean, we couldn't get enough. I feel like there's been almost no hype about the Super Bowl, and in large part because of what we discussed in the first segment. The NBA trade deadline is just completely taken over this week.
Well, I think that's part of it. I also think that, guess what? The trade deadline had L.A. and New York.
Yes.
The Super Bowl has who?
Philadelphia and Kansas City.
And where is it at?
In Phoenix.
That's right. The hub of the Durant trade.
Yes, that's right. It's all connected. The universe is trying to tell us something. Maybe it's not flat after all the world.
So you think if the Super Bowl was in San Francisco, that Golden State would have got Durant?
That's obviously, it only makes sense. Yes, you got a point.
Very logical.
So the Super Bowl really should be played up more than it has been to this point, because these are arguably the two best teams from each conference. You have the Kansas City Chiefs, who went 14-3, and the Eagles, who went 14-3, probably could have even done better if not for Jalen Hurts sitting out for the last couple games.
So I think a couple issues there. First of all, on KC's side, they've been there three out of the last 4 years, so they're not exactly. It's kind of like the Brady years.
It's not very sexy anymore.
Exactly. No. And while Philadelphia is there, and they're not a sexy team. But the reality is, I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to come down to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole key.
And how his ankle is.
How his ankle is, but also Philadelphia has a very good pass rush. If they can get to Mahomes, while he can run around and throw those plays like an Aaron Rodgers or whatever, and throw him at, and even better than Aaron Rodgers, find the open guy, yes, they can win. But it's going to come down to a lot of that, of how Mahomes' ankle is going to be against the pass rush of Philadelphia.
Yeah, and you never truly know, and I'm saying this as someone as if I was ever in a game like this, but they never truly know until they get out on that field. Now, obviously, he's had this bye week to let it recover. The big storyline of his ankle was really heading into the AFC Championship against the Bengals, which he looked fine in. So now he's got a whole extra week of rest on that ankle. But as you put it, the Eagles have basically the best pass rush in the game, led the league in sacks, 75 or something around there. And this is actually was the bugaboo in the 2020 Super Bowl. I guess that was 54 or 55 when they lost to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, that Patrick Mahomes was swarmed by the Buccaneers pass rush and was unable to make the Mahomes-like plays that he normally makes. Could that be a repeat now?
Well, and then they also don't have Tyreek Hill. Now, Tyreek Hill, I mean, granted, they've been doing great, KC, this year, but without Tyreek Hill, there's definitely a step below, right? You know, when you replace one star for another star, they really didn't replace Tyreek Hill. That's one thing. Then there's also this thing going on. If you look at Andy Reid, right? Andy Reid was the Philadelphia Eagles coach for many, many years. And then he was terminated, and he went to KC. So there's a little bit of a battle there. You know, hey, this was my home city. This is where I started, right?
Yeah.
So there's got to be a little bit of that underwinding thing going on.
And you would think it would be a bigger storyline like we alluded to in the beginning. I think the reason it's not is because, number one, Andy Reid has since won a Super Bowl and has been with Kansas City for about 10 years or so now. And secondly, and probably the biggest reason it's not as much a storyline, the Eagles finally got that coveted Super Bowl that they were waiting for their entire franchise history only
Absolutely.
A few years ago.
Absolutely. If it was the if the Jets were playing Detroit in the Super Bowl, okay, I think there would be a lot more stuff going on. First of all, you have the New York press, which is a different thing. And secondly, neither one of those teams have been in the Super Bowl. I don't know if Detroit's ever been in the Super Bowl, and the Jets haven't been in the Super Bowl since, you know,
68.
Since I hadn't even started kindergarten yet, okay? And I'm an old guy, so
Well, I wasn't even a speck of a thought because my dad was 10 years old in that. So trust me, I don't think I was even a consideration at that point. But, you know, we love to torture ourselves as Jets fans. One day, maybe, one day. If the Eagles could get one a couple years ago, because before the Jets were the Jets, the Eagles were always the Eagles. They never had one in their entire franchise.
Well, if you look at the Eagles, they drafted Carson Wentz second overall, okay? And the year of the Super Bowl, they had Nick Foles, a backup guy, take him, right?
Yep.
And then they ended up drafting Jalen Hurts. I don't even think Hurts was the first round. I think it was the second round. Or was he first or second?
Second round.
Yeah, so it wasn't even a first rounder.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, you look at the Jets. So they drafted their Carson Wentz is there, Zach Wilson, right? And now they're going to draft somebody else or do something else or pick somebody else up, the Nick Foles type player. You know, you don't know. Football is really, really funny. You look at it, 2 or 3 years a team can switch over like that. It's not just the draft. You got the free agency, and you've got turnover. And because of free agency and the cap, sometimes people get cut that should not be cut. So that's all happening. So it's a lot easier nowadays to transition. The superstars, Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Like, Tom Brady didn't go anywhere when he was with New England. So when you get a superstar like that, that really gives you an advantage for many, many years. But other than that, almost everyone else is being turned over. I mean, all pros are signing up all the time for new teams every year.
Yeah, well, going back to Jalen Hurts, I want to not...
And it's funny, Jalen Hurts was hurt.
Yes, that's hilarious, Peter. Well, he was hurt. He is still maybe hurt. We're still wondering. He's shown no issues with that shoulder since he's returned in these first two playoff games. They decimated the Giants, and then they really beat up the 49ers, albeit, you know, without Brock Purdy, it could have been a different game, but he looked fine.
They had a fifth-string quarterback.
Right, exactly. I mean, they were done. There was no chance for the Niners in the NFC Championship game. But what I was going to say is I want to not like Jalen Hurts. I want to dislike him because I don't have any love lost for Philadelphia. As a New Yorker, I do not like any Philly sports teams. But I look at Jalen Hurts' resume, and I look at him going back to college, started in Alabama, they end up pivoting in the middle of the national title game, put in Tua, who brings them to the championship. Jalen Hurts transfers to Oklahoma, has a pretty good last year there, and then gets picked in the second round. He's been overlooked a lot in his career, going all the way back to college, and I love an underdog story. So I kind of have an affinity for Jalen Hurts, and I'm really having an internal strife about it because I hate Philadelphia.
Well, so two things about these quarterbacks. So one, Jalen Hurts was on my fantasy football team this year.
Oh, yeah? How'd you do?
And he did very well for me. Why?
Very nice.
Because where I selected him and where he was going to be was different. I did not realize the legs that he has. He can run. And a running quarterback in a fantasy league does very, very well. Now, Patrick Mahomes, I'm not sure you were this, his father played for the Mets.
You're always going to find a way to bring it back to the Mets and Jets, aren't you? Every time. Yes,
absolutely.
His name was Pat Mahomes. He was a reliever for the Mets back in the 90s, 2000s. Right.
Yes,
yes,
exactly.
You are correct.
So, I mean, so that's why I'm like, who do I go for?
It's a toss-up. Right?
It is a toss-up. I think that I'm going to go for the Eagles for one reason.
Okay.
This doesn't mean I'm who's going to win. I'm saying I'm going to vote for the
Your Eagles. Rooting interest.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to vote for Philly because Kansas City's been there 3 out of the last 4 years. They might be there the next 3 or 4 years. Jalen Hurts is a running quarterback. Their window is not, even though Jalen Hurts is a young guy, you know, look at Lamar Jackson. Look at these running quarterbacks. Look at the Cam Newtons. The running quarterbacks have a life expectancy similar to a running back.
Right.
They're not going to go 20 years like a Brady, all right? So I think I'm going to go ahead and support Philly in this contest. I think that the Chiefs will probably be there in the next, you know, 2 out of the next 4 years, although there are two teams that you know and I know that are always going to be there. That's the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. Any one of those teams could beat out KC.
Well, I got to say, I feel like the bloom is kind of falling off the rose for Buffalo a little bit here now with their latest transgressions here in the playoffs. I mean, Josh Allen didn't look like the Josh Allen we thought he was coming up into this year.
I think the injury to happen to that person who got what's his name? Hillman? What's the guy's name?
You're talking about DeMar Hamlin.
DeMar Hamlin.
Right.
I think that is the key. I think DeMar Hamlin was an emotional thing for that whole team, and it's not – adrenaline was going, and I think that kind of messed everything up. And I think that they're not going to have to deal with that next year. The other thing is, if you look at Buffalo's history, remember I went to the University of Buffalo, and I was there, and they lost the Super Bowl 4 years in a row.
Yes.
Quite an accomplishment.
Losers.
So it's just something like Buffalo can get so far, but they can't take it over.
You know what really bugs me?
Kind of like Charles Barkley.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Another nice callback.
Another superstar just can't make
it. The thing that bugs me, and this happens in all sports, you get these bandwagon fans, and the Buffalo Bills are no different. These last 4 or 5 years, I have seen these people come out of the woodwork like cockroaches, and they've been, oh,
not termites.
And that, or termites.
And wood.
There you go. See, this is why I got you here. And say, I was always a Bills fan ever back in, you know, the day when they were losing. No, you were not. You grew up in California and Huntington Beach. You're not a – you like them now because they're good, and I'm glad to see them get some of their medicine, get some karma. I'm happy about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the other thing is Josh Allen was not supposed to be the superstar quarterback.
No.
I think he was the third or fourth quarterback in that draft.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield, I think, was number one overall. Sam Darnold went number three. And was Allen the third quarterback?
I think it was Allen, and then it was Josh Rosen, selected by the Cardinals out of UCLA.
And who was second to last in the first round?
That one, it might have been Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson? He got it. Okay.
My gosh.
And so, quite honestly, if you had to redraft it, I'm not so sure it'd be a toss-up, I think, between Lamar Jackson and Allen. I guess, you know, if it's pure quarterback, I'd say Allen, but Lamar Jackson can throw the ball pretty well, and he can run. But I would take Allen over Lamar Jackson for one reason. As I said, the running quarterbacks, as you saw this year, they get injured, and their life expectancy for their career is going to be less.
Yeah.
I think in Allen, who, by the way, is a great runner. So, I mean, I'm not
great
really
legs.
Yeah, he's great got great legs. I mean, but obviously he's also got the strength to throw that ball 80 yards. Lamar does too. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with those. But Josh Rosen, is he even in the league?
No, he's gone.
And Mayfield and Donald were on the same team for a while. So, right. I mean, it really, you know, you don't know. Good example, Purdy, right? Purdy was drafted 6th, 7th round.
Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft.
And he did not get injured. He might have been in the Super Bowl today.
Right.
We don't know.
Going back to the Super Bowl, one of the interesting things that's come out here now over the last couple of days is the spread on it. And I'm not a betting man by any means.
So who's the spread on?
So right now it's 1.5 points to Philly. So to Kansas City. So Philly's favored by 1.5. And the betting lines, for the most part, are all on Philadelphia. 70% of the money wagered so far has been on Philly at this point. To me, it doesn't make sense because it seems like the spread would go a little bit higher then. But Vegas, you know, you never beat the book. So I don't know. You tell me about this. Do you know anything about the betting lines?
Well, I don't know much about the betting lines, but what I can tell you is there's a couple of things. You've got Mahomes, who has his high ankle sprain. Okay, until he's out on the field and does something, as you indicated to me, right? Until he's out there being chased by some, you know, 300-pound guy or gets tackled, and it could be even that. He could be playing great the first quarter, and he gets that one bad tackle, and he re-injures that ankle.
Yep.
So I think that's one reason. Two, I think that when you look at the Chiefs, if you look at their offense, they're mainly focused on Mahomes, okay, and the tight end. Kelsey.
Right, Kelsey.
And whereas I think that there are more weapons on Philadelphia. They have Devontae Smith. They have the other wide receiver. They have a whole bunch of more playmakers. And Hurts is also a good runner. Okay? So opens up the running line. So I think that offensively, I think that that's why Philly's favored.
Right, and I think it's going to be an offensive battle. I don't think it's going to be a, you know, tooth and nail rock fight like they call it, where it's like, you know, trading off punts and it ends up being a 17-14. It's going to be like, in my opinion, a 34-31, a 34-27 type of game.
I definitely think that there's going to be over 30 points scored. So I would probably take the over.
Yes,
this game.
That's your betting advice?
I would take the over.
There you go.
Although, you know what? As we said, if the rushing attack of the Philadelphia Eagles can capture Mahomes, Chiefs aren't going to score a lot of points, and I don't know how many points Philly's going to score. So that's the only reason why you hit the under, but I would take the over.
And here's the other thing we didn't even talk about. The wide receiver core for the Chiefs has been battling injuries as well. They didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster last game. He's supposed to play now in this one.
They drafted that rookie guy. What's his name?
You're losing me. Who are we talking about here? I was going to mention McCole Hardman is also battling an injury.
I'd have to check it out, but they drafted a wide receiver to kind of replace Tyreek
Hill. Oh, that's right.
And you cannot replace Tyreek Hill.
No, and I know who you're talking about. He's been doing punt returns. He actually had a big punt return against the Bengals in that AFC Championship game that led to
I think they're more dependent.
Sky Moore, that's his name.
Sky Moore.
Yeah.
I think they are more – KC is more dependent on Mahomes doing well than Philly. And Philly has Hurts, but they also have the wide receivers that can take the ball down
Devontae
the field.
Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, right.
Right. They've got more playmakers. And so it's easier, whereas if you key – now, it's not an easy thing to do. No one's done it very successfully. But if you can key on Kelce, all right, and you can can keep him out of the game – and you have Mahomes, you know, and there's a good rush. I think it speaks well for Philly. That's why I'm taking Philly.
Yeah, and credit to the GM of the Eagles, whose name I can't think of right now, but what a job he's done, because they win that
Rosen something.
Yeah.
Baum or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Bergwijn. Yeah.
But 4 years ago, they win their Super Bowl, the first in franchise history, led by a backup quarterback, Nick Foles. They try rolling out with Carson Wentz again. Obviously, he proved he is a I don't want to say a failure, but doesn't live up to the expectations as the second overall pick.
I think
NFL.
He was the first that first year he's on an MVP thing.
Yes.
But that injury kind of wiped him out.
Right. And unfortunately it hasn't worked out for him. But putting that to the side, the Eagles have built their team, and a lot of people say it, and it's true, quarterback is the most important position in sports, and I fully subscribe to that. But second to that is building the team from the inside out on the offensive and defensive line. And the
now
Eagles
you sound like Joe Douglas.
You gotta do it. You have to do it. Every good team has a great offensive line that can protect the quarterback and push the other line to get the run game going. And then on the other side, the defensive line to sack the quarterback. And the Eagles have done that again, found their quarterback that fits their system with Jalen Hurts. And now look at them back in the Super Bowl for the second time in 5 years.
I think Kelce's brother is on Philly on the offensive
Jason
line.
Jason Kelce is an offensive lineman. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's been with them for 10 years.
Well, that's an
now.
Interesting concept, right?
You got
two brothers.
Right, exactly.
That doesn't happen too often.
And I think, again, we were talking about how there's not a lot of buzz about the game. Like, both of these guys have won a Super Bowl now. Kelce with the Eagles a few years ago, and Travis Kelce with the Chiefs a few years ago as well.
Because they didn't send us to Arizona. KHC has kept us here.
Right.
There would have been a lot more buzz if we were there.
We could have had a nice remote show.
We need to go to Arizona. You hear that, guys?
Yeah, I'm still waiting on the tickets to come in the mail. I've been checking my mailbox religiously every day, but no avail, I guess. Kind of weird. We could have been on Radio Row interviewing.
We could have been doing it in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And after that, interviewed Durant. So, but I think all in all, you know, the Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. Nobody will, you know, and I think that it's going to be actually a really good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, okay? Because I think you've got Mahomes, who any game he can always score 20, 30 points on his own. He's that great. Not obviously he has to pass the ball, but he's going to be very good. And I the other thing, by the way, you didn't mention, Philly won the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and they fired their coach.
Right.
Just like they fired Reed, okay? And yet, just a couple years later, they're back in it.
Insert Nick Sirianni, who I can't stand, but he obviously knows what he's doing.
But the coach that left Philly, Reed, is now coaching KC, and the other coach who won the Super Bowl with Philly,
Doug Peterson,
he's now on Jacksonville, and
right.
All of a sudden, Lawrence has now become a good quarterback.
He's a quarterback.
He was terrible
whisperer.
With Urban Meyers.
Quarterback whisperer.
I mean, Urban Meyers was like, are you kidding me?
No, we talked about that a few weeks ago where he was had some malfeasances off the field.
Yeah. I don't think he'll be coaching the NFL again.
Oh, he's done. He's done. He's never coming back. I don't even think he'll ever get a college gig again.
He can get a college gig because he was on a big program, did well. And you know, college is all about recruiting, right?
Yeah, well, he does love going to college bars and feeling up college-age women. That's what he was caught doing on camera.
Are we
after
going to go
loss.
Down the D-Shore and Watson path?
No.
There's so many athletes like that.
Not enough time to talk about that, trust me. But overall, I think it's going to be a good game as well. I'm hoping it's a good game because I don't want to see a blowout like we saw Chiefs in Tampa a few years ago. I'm going to go Kansas City 28, Philly 24. That's my prediction. Chiefs are going to win by 4.
Okay, so I'm going to take the Eagles.
Boo.
Fly. 35 points for the Eagles.
Okay.
And I'm going to give the Chiefs 28.
28. A nice prediction there.
Because I do think the over line is coming.
So we both have the Chiefs scoring at least 4 touchdowns. I had 28-24. You got 35-28 in favor of the Eagles.
I just think that there's more talent overall on Philly than there is KC. And that's what happens with the salary cap. Think about that. Hurts is on a rookie contract. Okay, what are they paying? $5-10 million. Okay,
yep.
What are they paying Mahomes? $45 million. That's why they had to get rid of Tyreek Hill.
Exactly.
They, you know, in a perfect world, when you don't have the salary cap, they would have kept Tyreek Hill. They didn't trade him because he was going down in skill. They traded him because of the salary cap.
Right. Wanted to get paid.
And so when you spend all that money on the quarterback, You can't spend all the money everywhere else. And that's what happens. So you have an uneven team.
Absolutely.
And
fully dependent on Patrick Mahomes, pretty much.
Exactly, which is what
and
I'm saying.
The integrity of that ankle. So it'll be interesting.
With a good pass rush from Philly.
That's right, right.
That's the to me the key. Now, if they can protect Mahomes and he does not re-injure his ankle, they have a better than even chance to win.
Better than even?
Yep.
Can you do that math for me? Because what is that exact? Better than
it's
even.
40 hours times 50. Oh.
So you're an expert now. You're an expert in NFL picks now. Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, wrap up the show. Who knows what we'll talk about? I do know.
I have a subject I want to go
into. Oh, great. Peter's on it. Well, I do know Ask Brian will be coming back. Are coming on at 1 o'clock, but you got to stick with us for a few more minutes here. You're listening to Out of Bounds here on your hometown station, KHTS FM 98.1 and AM 1220. Someday. Yeah, yeah, Anthony working hard at the grocery store.
Wow, that's an oldie.
Yes, sir. I love Billy.
He's from Long Island, that's why.
Yeah, he sells out the garden every
Actually,
year.
I'm going to go see him and Stevie Nicks at SoFi Stadium on March 10th.
Wow.
He's coming to L.A.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
I would, but you'd be in Nebraska.
Well, that is why we queued that one up, moving out, as I'll be heading out here in the next couple weeks. And as you just said, to Nebraska. Yeah, so got a nice little TV gig out there. Going to be covering the Corn Huskers. So never in my life did I think I'd be living in the Great Plains, but here we are.
Well, that's the middle of the middle.
That is the middle of the middle of the middle, yes.
Exactly.
You cannot get any more middle than that unless you went like on the border of Colorado and Nebraska. That's right smack dab in the middle of the country.
Well, I don't know how much more time we have left, but since we've covered basketball and the Super Bowl, I thought the next best thing to cover would be spring training.
That's right. Baseball's back, baby.
And this is the home of the Dodgers, is it not?
It is.
So maybe we should talk and forget about the Mets and talk a little bit about the Dodgers.
Talk a little about the Dodgers. I mean, they are gearing up to get Shohei Ohtani. There's no doubt in my mind. And they're going to steal him away from the Angels if he hits free agency.
I wouldn't be surprised at that because, again, the two New York teams are probably going after. Remember, the Yankees had a guy named Babe Ruth who was a pitcher and a pretty good player, right?
Pretty good.
Babe Ruth.
Not bad.
And Mr. Cohen has shown that money is no object. He doesn't look at how much money you want. He just looks so. But, the Dodgers have had a very long streak. I think, what is it, 7, 8 years in a row that they've won the division?
14 years or something.
No.
Like. Yeah.
Can't be
almost
that
a decade. Well,
I think it's after they became the owner.
Okay. Okay. No, wait. You're right because they did lose that final game of the season to the Giants, who ended up getting the NL West in 2021, correct?
And by the way, don't overlook San Diego this year.
I mean, they just spend like they have an unlimited budget. Someone take his credit card away. He just spends like crazy.
Oh, but those are the same people that are attacking the Mets. Now, they signed up Soto, and then they signed up that additional shortstop, right? What's his name?
Bogarts from the Red Sox, right.
And they already had Machado, which is not a cheap guy, and Tatis.
Yeah.
Although, is Tatis?
I've never heard someone say that.
Fernando?
Way. Tatis.
Isn't he out?
Tatis. He's still serving a suspension for performance-enhancing drugs coming into this
Maybe
next
that's
year.
Why he's such a good player.
Oh, well, it could be. But he's a lunatic. That
take away his steroids. We'll see how well he does.
He's out getting. You know why he was out last year? It's because he was out getting in accidents on his motorcycle in the, I think it was Dominican Republic.
That's why they signed Bogarts.
Right, probably. And they're going to try to experiment with him in the outfield. And they might trade him. He's got a huge contract, but now with Soto there as well. All this to say, though, it's going to be a catfight between the Dodgers and the Padres and the NL West this year, if you ask me.
What about the NL East? You've got the Phillies, who were in this World Series.
Yeah.
You got the Atlanta Braves, which, I mean, talk about teams that have won divisional titles. I don't know how many titles they've won. And then the Mets spend money like it's going out of style. So, I mean, you've got three teams there. I mean, I don't know how any other teams can match between those five that we just mentioned, right? I think one of those five should be in the World Series. I understand the Cardinals, okay? I understand there are other teams in the National League, but I don't think between the Dodgers, Padres, Mets, Phillies, and Braves. I don't, and those may be the
they're
five.
They're the top five teams.
Those may be the
no doubt about
the
it.
They probably all should make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Dodgers,
even with an injury,
the Dodgers have had a very uncharacteristic offseason where they didn't spend a whole lot of money or make a big splashy acquisition like they typically do. But on paper, they're still one of the best teams in baseball. They're still going to win 100 games, and they brought in J.D. Martinez, who was a nice addition to that lineup, but. It's the rotation I'm a little worried about. They brought Noah Syndergaard in. You're hoping he could just be your fourth or fifth guy. We know him well as Mets fans. But other than that, Kershaw's getting older, and you know we're kind of running out of the time on his career.
Except the Dodgers have one thing. They have one of the, and they have the same thing the Atlanta Braves have. They both have excellent farm teams.
Yep. Number one ranked by a lot of
and
the
And they're
pundits.
Always bringing up this, you know. Every time I look at the Braves, they could lose 10 guys in free agency, and they're bringing in three guys that I never heard of, and they're rookie of the year and winning 15 games.
Yep.
And it's like they just know how to do it.
Yep.
You got a good scouting system, you're going to be well in baseball.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly. And the Dodgers, as usual, year in, year out, have that bloodline just continuously filing in with superstar talent, and I expect the same here again for them this year. This is going to be it, Peter. We're gonna.
No,
it's it. That's the.
It
last.
Just started.
I know, right? It goes
you,
fast.
We didn't even. I get into the Jets and Rodgers or any of that stuff
so
that I was going
to
get
about.
Into with you.
We'll do a podcast. How's that? We'll start a
totally.
Podcast. So
we should.
Anyway, it's been a pleasure being on the airwaves here with you, Santa Clarita Valley. I appreciate it so much, your listenership, and for giving me a chance here, and I really do appreciate it. You'll still hear me here on Ask Brian coming up at 1 o'clock. So don't turn that dial. You've been listening. To Out of Bounds here with Matt Fried on your hometown station 98.1 FM AM 1220 KHTS. Peace.